Welcome to the DC Breeze's Hot Air Podcast. My name is Greg Esser. This is episode number 6 of 2018. I have the very special pleasure of having Rowan McDonald on the podcast today. He is making his third appearance on Hot Air that will tie him for the record with Glenn Poole of the most commonly, the most frequently appearing guest on the Hot Air Podcast. I know he is vying, and he will talk about it, for his fourth appearance, which will put him solidly in first place, the same way he is vying for franchise career blocks leader. That contest, of course, is with Daniel White Hat Selwyn. The score set is 52, and Rowan needs 8 more to tie it, 9 to take over first place. We talk about that as well in the interview. Before I spoil too much of the interview content, though, I want to go through our sponsor list here at the DC Breeze: Papa John's Pizza, Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Ultimate Apparel, Murphy's Grills, Murphy's Grill, not they're not putting special dental work in, as Murphy's Grills might imply. Instead, I'm referring to the post-game meetup destination of the DC Breeze, located right next to the Catholic University campus, where the Breeze home games are played this year. Also want to thank the American Ultimate Academy, Universe Points Cleats, and Cobalt CRM Solutions, as well as our nonprofit partners, that's Spirit of the Sport, the American Equity Invite, that is a youth girls tournament out in Virginia. The Breeze are the official championship field sponsors this year, and that is very exciting. It's not this upcoming weekend. There is a Breeze game on the evening of Saturday the 26th against New York. Rowan and I will talk about that as well. Instead, the American Equity Invite is the week after that, the weekend of June 2nd and 3rd. Very exciting, happening out in Leesburg. Lastly, forestplanet.org. The Breeze are teaming up with them this year to plant a tree for every paid ticket in the 2018 season. So that's the list. Support them. They support us. I'm going to get to our main event here. I talk through the games as always, but instead of just having me narrate over top of it, it's better to have Rowan in on this conversation. So, Broke Royals, kick us off. Welcome to Hot Air. Pleasure is mine to sit down with Rowan McDonald, Throwin' Rowan, they call him, I call him that, early, I'll say it, MVP candidate in 2018. It's a lot. I'm steeping it on here early, but I'm very excited for this conversation, obviously. Rowan, warm up that mic for me.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me again, round two. Yeah, Throwin' Rowan, I think, was copyrighted, so we might have to find another one. It's funny, too.
Last time you told me you had an inside scoop on the website, maybe. Markham Schaffner was helping out.
Markham was working on it. He's my business agent. We'll see if he actually scooped the website up. But yeah.
You said that it was your second time on Hot Air. That's fictitious. That's fake news.
This is a trifecta.
This is the third time, which actually puts you into some hallowed ground as well, because it ties Hot Air frequent guest Glenn Poole for the most appearances on Hot Air. You're now tied for that gold medal spot.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I'm not doing anything next week if you want to run it back.
You want to break a record?
For the franchise record.
I think we might need to, I like to shift my guests up just enough. We'll see if we get another one in 18. Maybe it could be a postseason episode when the Breeze make the postseason.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, there we go. Lock it in. Last week on the podcast, I talked with Becca Arbacher of the Equity Committee, and we talked a lot about equity across the spectrum, but really I think we honed in a little bit more on gender equity. I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart, but I know you also work a lot in kind of a socioeconomic realm, and the organization you do that through is certainly the Breeze, but also the partnership of the Breeze and the organization you run, AUA, American Ultimate Academy. Talk to me a little bit about some of your initiatives in 2018. Talk to me a little about the partnership with the Breeze.
Yeah, in 2016, the Breeze ownership was able to make a connection with DC's Department of Park and Recreation. And what happened was we were invited to a summer camp where 25, 30 kids are at a camp daily and they just more or less need something to do. So this particular camp was a multi-sport camp. Monday they learned tennis, Tuesday basketball, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we were able to bring an ultimate frisbee curriculum to one of those days and start working with these kids in Southeast DC and teach them ultimate.
That's more the origin story than I ever heard. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's how it all kicked off. And I mean, the kids just love frisbee because the disc floats for 5 seconds and they just chase it and try to catch it at the end.
Sure.
So we just lined them up and sent out 50-50s across the field and blew their mind on this new sport. And the program manager who creates these programs was in attendance. And he was like, ooh, this could be something cool. The kids are loving it. They're just running all over the place. So they invited us back for 2017 in a bigger capacity. And at this time, I had incorporated American Ultimate Academy as something where, hey, Ultimate in this region is growing. Let's see if we can get some access and resources out to this sport. And it just lined up that the DPR and AUA were able to talk and say, hey, can you start coming into these rec centers more regularly? So I think last summer we ended up doing 3 or 4 instead of just that one.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching over, I want to say, like 150, 200 kids who had never been exposed to Ultimate. And a lot of these kids, yeah, have a different socioeconomic background than most Ultimate players, which is super exciting because, like, that's something the sport doesn't see. Usually you have to go to college and, you know, basically go to college.
I mean, and that's the world over, but that's Washington, D.C. Welcome.
I mean, yeah, that's Ultimate. I mean,
I was going to say, in terms of reaching out to less privileged folks, that exists the world over, but that is Washington, D.C. Welcome.
Exactly.
If we represent Washington, D.C., that's who we're repping.
Yeah, exactly. And when you say Ultimate in the region is exploding, I mean, all eyes on Arlington right now. Yeah, and the inner city Ultimate, too. I mean, they just practice once or twice, and then all of a sudden these kids, like, they pick it up fast. And, like, if these players have been practicing as much as some of the other players in Northwest or in Arlington, I really think that DC could, you know, be the hotbed of Ultimate. These kids are incredible.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see. And that's kind of where I'm at. What we did also is we incorporated a nonprofit to partner with the DPR. That's brand new this year. And what we'll have going is we're going to train these kids in the summer camps again, but now we're going to open up and make a field trip for the DPR to have all the kids from the different rec centers come to one location and have a tournament.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that's breaking news. The Breeze Equity Committee has said, we want to be a part of this. Let's make it happen as cool as possible. And that's where kind of the Breeze Equity, the Breeze, and AUA are going to come together to give these kids an awesome event.
So AUA is going to be there. The Breeze are going to have a presence there. Are there dates lined up?
Yeah, the dates are going to be late July. I'm working with Coach Hall, the program manager at DPR, to establish that day. It'll be probably like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when these kids are at camp. So it'll have to be a get away from work kind of day. But we're going to pull in some players that have already played, some Northwest DC, some Arlington, some Maryland kids, and kind of mix them all in. So not only can the newer players see what they can aspire to play like, but some of these other kids can be exposed to a different diversity group. And when kids are generally exposed to that new diversity group, they don't even care. It's just all fun and games to them.
You do it early enough and the barrier is not even as prominent.
Exactly. It's crazy. Like, I coach a middle school team in D.C. that's probably half black. And we got Gabe Webster, who's coaching the first all-black middle school team in D.C. And
sure, I've been to some of those practices.
Yeah, last night we actually had a match. And it was just, the kids were just having, like, a good time. And it's crazy to see that. Crazy to see it with Ultimate especially.
Nice. Gabe Webster, of course, been coaching this team for 3 or 4 years at this point, playing the Breeze this year, so cool to see that line up and be a little bit more Breeze branded as well.
Yeah, he was playing great too. He was a top 7 defender on the team, and it hurts to see him go down because he was so good for the team.
Yeah, so that's breaking news actually as well. It hasn't been said on the podcast at least yet. I haven't seen it on the website for that matter either. Gabe Webster been out, I think, 3 games now, and he might be out at least this weekend. Hopefully we'll get him back. but he had a bicycle accident.
Correct.
And his shoulder is tweaked. I don't think anything structural, but needs some time. But you mentioned a lot of, drawing in the other youth talent. We say DC is exploding. It's this hotbed of ultimate. And we're talking about bringing in that talent at the end of July. I would be remiss not to mention the American Equity Invite at this time, June 2nd and 3rd. A lot of those players, particularly the female ones, are playing out in Virginia, another high school tournament in the area. The Breeze have a involvement there as well. So exciting. That's the one on the forefront. The next thing, and then 2 months out, we'll get another one going here in DC.
Very cool. Very cool. I think they got Amherst coming down to that and some other big high schools.
Amazing. So let's walk through some of the action that's happened on the field for the Breeze recently. And it has not been all roses on that front. There was a really tough, I'd say it's got to be one of the toughest road trips in the league. I don't think a team's ever won both the games. There's probably a couple road trips across the AUDL that exist on that continuum that no one's ever won both the games. Certainly, the Montreal-Toronto road trip, no one's ever won both. Talk to me. You fell into that cliche, and you didn't win either of them, actually. Really tough game in Toronto, a 13-point loss, and then a nail-biter in Montreal that went sour, a loss by one there. Walk me through that Toronto game first. It was a tough one, I think.
Yeah, this road trip, the Toronto-Montreal Saturday-Sunday combo, it's tough. A lot of bus time, but
should there be a name for it? A name for it?
Let's keep it nameless for now. So
the poutine special.
Well, I mean, if you did it,
just got a lot of gravy.
So we have. I don't know if the Breeze have ever won in Toronto. So that's very unfortunate.
That's true.
Every time you think it is the one, and then they come out and beat you by 13, and it's not the one. So
yeah, that's certainly not the one.
Not the one this time. It was, I think, 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. Still, it was a weird first quarter. And then we just started consistently turning the disc over on our O-line, and also our when we would get broken, our D's-O, which would also struggle. And I don't know what it was. I mean, we were rested. We were ready to go. We weren't, like, lagging from the bus. Toronto's a good team.
Sure.
Sometimes.
They're the class of the league.
They beat us at Toronto, and we beat them in D.C., so they held their home court. And at the second half, the game was pretty out of hand. I wouldn't say that we were resting for Montreal, because that's not true. We were trying to score. We were out there working.
Yeah.
But it almost felt that some of us, including myself, were like, I don't think that's true to say we were resting for Montreal. They were just outplaying us across the board, execution-wise, systematically.
Talk to me, so give me the story, if you can, of the Montreal game, because I think that's a little bit more enthralling. It's 6-6 at the end of the first quarter, Montreal takes off, you fight back in the second half, but what's going on in your head? Can you weave the narrative of that game a little bit in Montreal?
Yeah, what happened in Montreal is I think the team started to really feel like, okay, we just lost at Toronto. Montreal is going to be one of the teams we need to beat for the playoffs. And, like, it became a big game.
Yeah.
So once that happened, I think a little stress and pressure kind of came up. And we also started to force things and do things that just weren't natural. We weren't flowing. There was no rhythm. They were playing this zone-ish where they would double early. They kept two guys deep, so we weren't able to have our quick one-hit plays that are very important to our offense.
Yeah.
Our best zone handler, Nate Pryor, wasn't in attendance, so we were a little slow moving the disc, and it just was a perfect storm for kind of a sloppy, ugly, slow game that, we were down four going to the fourth and just didn't have enough time. I think we scored three straight to make it 21-20, but we scored with 5 seconds left, so effectively the game was already over. So
yeah.
We never had that last chance. It was great to see that we were still, like, fighting and trying to win it in the fourth after a long road trip and after, seven quarters of ultimate. So it was good to see the fight. Definitely did not see that same fight against Toronto. But the fourth quarter of Montreal was a positive, and we were able to roll that into a great practice last night and at least some momentum and confidence for the upcoming game against New York on Saturday.
Yeah, so that's great to hear, and that's actually, you already prefaced my next question to some degree, which is to say, hey, you got two losses in Toronto, and that's got to feel pretty rough, but talk to me about what you took away that needed worked on, and then you already spun me kind of one of the positives, which is great to hear, that this is a team that fights back and is never, well, I mean, maybe was down and out against Toronto, but showed the next day the resilience that I think is necessary to step up in those close matches and make a comeback run in the fourth quarter when the legs are most tired, the throws still work, or we've always got another gallon in the tank, so to speak.
Yeah, and just to like kind of dive into what you're saying in terms of like the resiliency part of things, our team is young and there's a lot of new players, and like Toronto's O-line's been playing together for 6 straight years, and like we haven't had like the same O-line twice, so we need to figure out other ways we can outplay teams, and that's with the resiliency, the fight, the scrappiness, and all of that. I think sometimes we have been getting caught up too much in, you know, we need to do XYZ on the field systematically and stuff like that, where, hey, yo, we just need to go play hard. Like, we need to be the toughest, mentally toughest, you know, have the most fire in the league. And I think that's what we're going to see against New York. It's just a group of 20 and a coach that are just going to go out there and deliver. We're just going to work hard. You know, it's going to be scrappy defense.
Well, so those are two different things in my mind. There's the fire that comes with, yo, we got a youth-loaded roster. We got a lot of talent. Guys are going to college nationals on the squad. We're going to get this adrenaline shot in the arm of these new guys coming back. But there's also the calm under pressure, stress tested. You mentioned, hey, Montreal became a big game for us, and maybe we didn't respond as well as we could have. How do you breed that into the Breeze culture that you just told me was kind of younger and bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, that hasn't always been the case in past Breeze iterations?
I think the answer is just that we become the team that doesn't care about the game or the stakes or Toronto. And like
Doesn't care in a good way.
Yeah, like I've played on teams that are like, oh, yeah, we're playing Toronto. And it's just like, come on. I think our team has the ability to just go out and be like, who cares who we're playing?
Think about yourself, not about
yeah, exactly.
Them, maybe.
And, I mean, we're well coached. Daryl's got, he's doing a great job. And I think the culture is starting to shift to like, let's just go out and play ultimate. Let's play our ultimate. Early in the season, we were kind of like, we need to game plan for X, Y, and Z. You know, this team has this person. And now lately it's been like, if you do your role and you work hard, we'll be fine. Maybe they have to game plan for us now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the...
So how do you then this is $1 million question. Maybe we wouldn't be behind mics if we were truly the masters of this, but you've coached enough squads and you're a veteran on this team now. You know, how do you instill that we don't care, but we're obviously still need to try, but that we don't care who we play against any given game day mentality?
Great question. And it just, I think for me, it starts as like one of the leaders and veterans on the team, just like looking at that first year player and just telling him, be like, you know, I've seen you play. Nobody wants to guard you. You know, you can hang with
instilling confidence.
Yeah, exactly. And these kids should have all the confidence in the world. We have a great young youth roster. And at this level, nobody wants to play against these young kids that can run all day. And they might not have all the skills that these veterans have, but they have the heart, the hustle, and the small things that make players like very, very successful. So use those skills. Don't worry about the fact that you've only played 2 games in your whole career. Go out with nothing to lose. Don't come in trying to be this role player who, you know, is scared and timid. Like, go be your college takeover player. And that's kind of what I'm trying to get through these college kids' heads. Like, we don't have time to develop you into the player you think you want to be. You have to be you on the field today, or else our season could be over.
Yeah, so if I kind of draw, actually pick something out of there that you said, maybe it is even shifting the message a little bit. My 2 cents is, you said, hey, this is only your second game. It's not their only second game. They've played on a big stage in college. They've been, you just said, they've been the takeover guy. Maybe it's removing the mentality that it's even your second game. This is all more or less the same ultimate that you are very comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do for the young players. That's the one good thing I think about a big turnover is you can change the belief and the culture and just kind of fake like your one culture and they all believe it. Like,
yeah. Hey,
DC is a city where we don't care who we're playing.
You know,
maybe that hasn't been the case in the past, but it is now because we just told them it is.
Sure. There's something even in the professional world which is kind of like act as if. And maybe this is a big one because my day job is a consultant, but I may or may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm acting as if.
Yeah. I think that's the same thing that I've been kind of working on. But yeah, our culture it's shifting right now. I touched on the practice last night, but that was the first time where we just really opened up and kind of went at each other. So it's good to see.
Great. So you mentioned already, I can't contain you to thinking about the past, and I like that about you. You're already talking about the future. And this weekend, this Saturday, the 26th, it's a 6:30 p.m. game, Catholic University, New York Empire. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think at all beyond that? Because the next three games are Pittsburgh, which has been a weaker team this year, and then a double Toronto feature.
Yeah, focus on the game at New York. We know them. We know what we're going to get. We'll be up 4-5, or they'll be up 4-5, and then the fourth quarter is going to come along, and whoever's up is going to give away a few goals, and it'll go to overtime. I think we're at 6 straight 1-point games with New York, 6 out of 7.
Wow.
So come out. It'll be exciting.
Yeah.
So
it's about the fourth quarter.
I want to say it's about the first quarter this week. I want to be irresponsible journalism or just like that the sports pundit who makes things bigger than they are? You know, this game's all about the first quarter. We need to come out.
Keys to the game.
After the energy last practice, we need to come out in the first quarter and just show New York that we're a different team than the last time they played us. And that's going to be the goal. We're going to run both the D-lines out there. And then hopefully the offense can chill and hold to inspire the defense's confidence. And it's just going to be a first quarter for the ages. You heard it here.
Okay.
You heard it here.
I like that. I'll be watching closely and seeing if your Notre Dame comes true.
Yeah. And if it's not about the first quarter, then it's going to be about the second quarter. What's that word? Time order?
Chronology.
We're gonna go in chronological order.
So okay. Well,
fourth quarter doesn't matter.
You blew the chronology vocab recall, but I blew the pun. It definitely shouldn't have been Notre Rowan. It should have been Notre Donald.
Oh yeah, that would have been
much better.
Damn. We can edit that in.
Okay. Or we could just keep it clean. People can know we're not as witty as we put on.
No. All about the edits. No, I'm kidding.
Let's start over.
Okay.
Okay, so do you have a thought then to the Pittsburgh horizon, to the Toronto horizon, or truly get there when we get there? I'm in the back seat, I'm the kid yelling, "Hey, Dad, when are we going to get to Toronto?"
I actually...
Tell me what you would say.
I'm looking forward to playing Toronto at home. Pittsburgh, I don't want to sleep on anybody. I have no idea who's playing on Pittsburgh. I have no idea how good they are. I've never seen them play a point in my life. So after New York, I'll check in to see about Pittsburgh, but I don't want to sound... I can't say I'm not looking ahead to Toronto, because I definitely am. I mean, I sat through that whole bus trip on the ride home like, ooh, something's got to change. I just lost my 13 to this team. That's embarrassing. So the home Toronto game is definitely a game that is circled on the calendar, as they say. We're good at home.
We beat
Toronto the last two times at home.
It's true.
Toronto might think that we're a joke right now, and that's just like eating me alive. I can't deal with that. So that game is big. I am looking ahead. I know you're not supposed to look ahead, but the home Toronto game is huge.
Cool. Well, I'll be excited to watch that one as well. Let's talk a little bit. We talked kind of team culture. We talked team performance. And it's been, you know, ups and downs, a little bit of a roller coaster ride this year. We didn't even talk about a huge win against Raleigh the other weekend, and I haven't talked about, maybe I should celebrate that more, a 25-24 win.
We won!
Yeah, well, and a huge one against, you know, one of the teams that was a favorite going into the season. So super exciting on that front. But what I want to talk about more is your individual performance, which has also been just exceptional. You've got, as if you don't know, or maybe you don't even watch these things, but I'll reiterate it here, 24 assists, 32 goals, 9 blocks, with a 96 completion percentage. That's been something that's plagued a lot of the Breeze throwers for the year, kind of lowering that completion percentage. Has your personal mentality changed? You become more the guy this year.
My approach has changed. I wouldn't say my mentality too much has changed. In years past, I had been an aggressive cutter that was also an aggressive thrower, which led to more turnovers. So
yeah.
This year I was, you know, I'm just trying to cut deep a little more, score goals for the team, and not throw as many questionable hucks, which I have definitely done in the past. So I'm just super happy to keep that completion percentage pretty high.
And but you're still getting assists at the same time. You haven't backed away from some big throws that are landing in hands.
True. I guess most of my assists would probably be, you know, kind of catch it near the goal line and just
Warning track power?
Yeah, some warning track power. We'll talk to Lloyd and Xavier and Nate and Max about that.
Get back in the weight room?
Yeah, just lead me in. I hate catching. My pet peeve in Ultimate is catching the disc at the one or two. You always got to go with the hop in the goal. There's so many turnovers that happen at the goal line.
You've actually had a couple of those well this year. Some big ones. Some big 5-yard leaps.
Yeah, if you're not leaping into the end zone to catch goals, then you need to reevaluate your your life because...
life.
Yeah, that's the pet peeve. Comes from cricket in Boston. There's so many turnovers at the one. If you can just catch it in the end zone, it's just so good. But I've also had 2 hop drops.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, that can backfire on you.
Yeah, but I would rather see a hop drop than a catch on the goal line and then a score. Like, that's how upset I get when teammates catch the disc that they could have caught it in.
That is bold words.
It kills me. So, yeah, so I think most of my assists have been like, pretty close to the end zone. I haven't hucked as much this year.
Challenge to Hot Air Nation. I think someone could still put together that highlight reel of hucks on 24 assists.
Yeah, we'll see. But
there's probably still a good 10 out there.
I'm just trying to possess, and I don't want to say save turnovers for other players, but that's definitely an approach. Like, we have players that attack with their throws, so if I can turn it over less, you know, it gives them a couple more a game. More or less.
Let me ask you this. Do you set goals for yourself at the beginning of a season or at the beginning of individual games? I mean, you're knocking these numbers out of the park, and you talked a little bit about maybe this general mentality of possession and pushing yourself further deep. But do you set specific goals at the beginning of a game?
I would say less goals, and I've never set like a number goal. Like, I want X. I mean, that's how some people get fired up. I know Rico's like, you know, he's got his goals, and it's good to see, and he's crushing them. But for me, I've never set a number goal. I set a game plans in terms of, hey, this game, first quarter, I just want to facilitate, get everybody involved. And then as the game goes on, third and fourth quarter, now it's time for me personally to, you know, initiate the offense and take over a little more. That's kind of how I've been approaching some of these games. New York might be different just because I want that first quarter badly. But I think it's more of a game plan and an approach and not a number goal.
Let's get back to the numbers, though, because that's the thing. I'm the numbers guy. I'm the stat head.
All right.
Franchise career leader in blocks is a man named Daniel Selwyn, who you probably know, a.k.a. White Hat. Played for the Breeze for 3 years. Over those 3 years, 53 blocks. You currently sit 8 shy of him, making Wodach broke the goal record, career record, last weekend.
Oh, wow.
He's number one in goals right now.
Wow.
You could become the number one in blocks this year. Does that am I catching you off guard with that, and does it mean anything to you?
I don't think I heard that number prior to today. I would love to get more blocks. The most important stat in Ultimate is blocks.
Uh-huh.
Everybody scores, I don't know. I would want to get there just because that means I got more blocks, not because I'm going down in the franchise.
Do you think you have 8 more in you in 2018? You've got, I think, 9 right now. And we're about halfway through the season.
I want to say, since I play O-line, that we're never going to turn the disc over for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
which
sure.
Is definitely how I believe. I never, you know, I think we'll play Perfect Ultimate for the next 10 games. I am getting some D-line points these days.
Yeah, you're crossing over a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely will get 8 blocks or however many.
8 is what you need to tie. 8 to tie, 9 to 9 to win.
Yeah, I'll get some blocks.
So if you double your block total from the first half of the season, you'll be the number one blocks guy. So that really only leaves one section left.
Oh, I know the section.
And I think it's one you're going to like. The over-underrated. We've done it before, and I've made you weigh in on things like headbands in the past. I've made you weigh in on two-handed throws. I'm gonna riff on those things again, and I'm going to launch into a new round. You ready for over-underrated?
Yes, sir.
Sir. I feel so special. So we talked about two-handed throwing.
That should be done. PSA.
What about two-handed catches? You often hear the colloquialism in Ultimate to use two hands. You drop that one-hander, you showboat it a little bit.
Absolutely.
Two-handed catching?
Underrated.
Underrated.
Yeah, catch it with two hands.
Even if it's over your head, just jump up
if
there.
You have to catch it with one hand, catch it with one hand. But if you catch it with one hand when you could have caught it with two hands, like, okay, cool, you're good at catching. But no, I'm a fundamental player, always have been. If you can catch it with two hands, do it. Pancake, preferably.
You got two hands for a reason. Yeah. Throw and catch with two hands.
Yeah. Pancake if you can.
We talked about headbands in the past, and you squabbled with me that there were so many different types of headbands. A very particular type of headband, the visor. Truck Stop wore them last year throughout the club season, throughout the amateur season. I haven't seen a lot on the Breeze field this year. Over-underrated, the visor.
Underrated visor.
Yeah?
Under.
Yeah?
It looks so cool.
I haven't seen you wearing a lot of visors out there. If it's underrated, you should be repping it.
Can I have a 30-second story of the visor?
And please, give me a story.
Okay, so it started last June when I went home to the beautiful East Lyme, Connecticut to visit my mom, and we were at the beach. And mom, just, you know, moms are protective. And I was out there without a hat on, getting the UV rays, sunburn.
Vitamin D.
She's like, hey, Matt. My name. She's like,
my name.
My name. She said, here, take this visor. And it was that pink visor that you saw from Truck Stop.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, mom, thank you so much. And me, as a terrible son, I thought it looked good, and I just never gave it back. I ran to D.C. with it, and I used it all season. And then before regionals, Markham was like, hey, I think our team should go team visors. Everybody's getting these 5-panel hats or whatever in these days. Ultimate's so fatty that it's like, you know, you gotta wear something to look cool. So we kind of went, hey, we have our own thing. We're going visors. And Markham was able to line up pink visors so I could still wear my mom's visor. And we killed it.
Yeah.
We looked good.
You looked good. You played all right. Do the Breeze need something similar this year? And if the visor is underrated, could it be a visor?
I'm just worried that we did have a visor, it'd have to be like a Breeze visor. And I think when you go visor, you need to go $3 one color visor off Amazon, like Truck Stop route. So I don't think the Breeze could pull off the visors.
I mean, we should talk to our suppliers. We'll talk to
right,
Don.
Clay. Oak Creek.
Clay, can't you source a $5 Breeze visor?
Okay.
Sell them at cost.
$350 max.
$350 max? Oh my gosh, that's a tough window to shoot. The Breeze logo stamp might be $350 alone.
Great.
I don't know. I mean, that's sitting at 2-4-1, that visor. What if the visor turned it around? Would everyone wear a visor in 2019?
You know, I don't want everybody to. I don't want to start a fad.
You don't want that.
No, I just, you know.
You're just trying to wear that beach visor
of
your mom's.
I just wear my visor, yeah.
Roe McDonald, under or overrated birthdays?
Overrated.
Yeah? Are you not a birthday celebrator?
No. Today. I think my birthday's coming up. I'm not sure, but
if someone threw you a surprise party, how would you react in that moment? You'd be gratified, you'd walk right out of it.
No, I would work the room for a little bit and then pick an excuse or just work the back door and sneak out. I mean, that's the style. So
we have overwhelmingly mentioned just one Schaffner sibling today. The other one that was the first player full rostered first female player fully rostered on an AUDL team for the entirety of a season. Trendsetter, because it's happening in a dozen different places this year. Over-underrated, Jesse Schaffner.
Jesse Schaffner? Underrated. She's my partner in crime.
I thought so.
Yeah, me and Jesse, you know, down in Panama 2 weeks working Ultimate, Jesse's actually coming out to AUA's overnight competitive summer camp.
I heard about this.
The headline instructor. The cool thing about Jesse is, like, you hear, like, oh, Jesse is, like, this big face and big role model. And
that big face?
It, you hear it through.
Is it about the, like, face particularly,
like,
though?
Figurehead. She's the face of the sport, more or less.
You're absolutely right.
She's the most popular player in the sport.
You're absolutely right.
And so when I worked with her for the first time in Panama, it was just expectations exceeded. She's making these one-on-one connections all over the place. She's just pouring her heart and soul into it. Underrated times 1,000. Can't wait to run camp with her at Trinity, Washington this summer, June 24th, June 29th. High school kids, I'll see you there.
More plugs. I love it. Delicious. You mentioned the last one. You hear so much about the Ultimate community in Mexico, as I have. Maybe even hear more about the community that exists in Colombia. Over-underrated that Panama Ultimate scene.
Underrated.
I thought so.
Underrated. They're good.
I'm teeing up the issues today.
They love Ultimate. They're good. And they're just good people that... They're also super nice. Like, we go down there and they just take care of us. The whole community itself is great. They made it on Sky Magazine, which was great to see. Check that article out. But working with them, underrated. The skills are there. And I guess while we're on Latin America Ultimate, I'll give y'all a quick teaser. I haven't really announced it, but Venezuela is also a bit underrated, so make sure you check them out at the World Championships. I won't say anything more.
The thing I'll say is my heart goes out to Venezuela right now with the political unrest, so it'd be good for them to get a good news story with some Ultimate.
Yeah, and fundraise, you can donate to their team, and maybe it'll help me get a jersey. We'll see what happens.
What is the go-to meal after Ultimate in Panama?
I have the same thing every time. It's like a hot dog bun with chopped chicken and then lots of mayonnaise, I think, maybe. And then those little chips that are like straws, potato chip straws.
Okay.
I don't know what they're called. They're super good.
Yeah, I don't know.
They look like toothpicks.
Okay. I think I can at least picture that.
Sure. Chicken and toothpicks.
Chicken and tater tooths.
That's it.
Tater tooths. I made that up.
Underrated. They're so good.
Great. That sounds delicious.
Pepitos.
You've survived over underrated. Some outbursts we got from you. I like that. Tell me, is there any other burning issue that we need to discuss on Hot Air today? What's going through the mind of Rowan McDonald?
Right now it's... trying to think. Those pepitos. I want a pepito. Oh, yeah. Of course, you know, follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Rowan757 for... Actually, nah, don't follow me on Twitter. Weak Twitter game. Actually, don't follow me anywhere. Sorry. Can we delete that part?
We can. I
follow AUA everywhere. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning into Hot Air. I'll be with you again in 2 short weeks. Make sure to come out this Saturday, the 26th of May. Catholic University. We play New York. We play New York Empire, and it'll certainly be a good show. Rowan will be there. I will be there. Thanks again.
Yeah, and come on out. It's sick because, you know, come hang out after the game, high five the players, meet everybody, and yeah, I think that's the best part. It's like you can talk and hang out with the players a little bit after the game and get to see us. So we look forward to not only playing but interacting with our fans.
Adios. Shout out to onomatopoeias.
Yeah, if you want to coach internationally, work on your onomatopoeias.
Yeah, impersonating the disc.